Well, good early morning. I am your pastor. I've been out for the last couple of weeks, and Pastor Brian has filled in for me and did a wonderful job. Listen, I love what we do with the Facebook and with the website, having the videos posted out. There's people all over our country who watch our videos and watch our messages and our worship services. When they're at work and they're off on vacation, they're off away from home, they can still get a touch of home. Thank you, church, for fixing food for the last few weeks for us. I had lost weight. We've been eating very good. I'm telling you what, Evangeline Parish, there's no cooks in the world like Evangeline Parish. Amen. Woo, we can amen that all day long. You can cook, church, let me tell you. And today also starts the ministry career of our new children's minister. So, Caitlin, if you just wave at everybody like this. There's Jessie's last day was yesterday. She finished all the way through Bible school and survived the week. And Caitlin is our new children's minister, and she's with us in the early service, but she'll be in the back for second service doing her job. That's right. We're excited about what God is going to do in her life and where God is going to take our church and help us in so many different areas. Today, we continue our study in the book of Esther. Remember, a few weeks ago, we were talking about Esther and her becoming the queen of Persia. Well, today we continue that in Esther chapter 4. We talk about being called and set apart by God for a purpose. For a purpose. And that applies to each one of us. We all have purpose in life. And this jigsaw puzzle we call life, we have a purpose. Never think that your life is here and it's worth nothing. It is valuable to the kingdom of God. And for the great plan God has for this world. But you have to know your purpose. And there are a lot of people, listen, I've met people who have missed their call in ministry. I know it. They're not happy people. They do a job. They do their job right, whatever. But boy, there's something inside this. I know there are people who are working and living, and they know they have missed something. And that they should be somewhere else right now. Listen, when we don't know our purpose in Christ Jesus, we don't know what God has called us to do and fulfill for us to fulfill. It doesn't matter what age we are. If we do not know that, we're not real happy people. Work becomes work to us. Work doesn't become a pleasure to us. What do you mean, Brother Kevin? It's like this. It's big old thick book. Now listen, there were a lot of people who wrote this book and people who condensed it and edited it and put it together, and those who typed it all up and printed it and then binded it and put it out on the market. And so there are a lot of people involved in this book. Well, what's the purpose of this book? The purpose of this book is to educate the masses. It's so that people who want to know things about God's Word can turn to a book like this and understand the original meanings of it. It's a big book. It's kind of heavy to carry around. I wouldn't want to put this in my book sack. And most people say, well, I can just look on my computer now and Google it. Maybe so. But the writers of this book had an intention, and the purpose of this book was to educate the masses. But what we do oftentimes is we leave it on the shelf and it collects dust. So now it becomes a part of the interior design of our library or of our coffee table. Matter of fact, it also does pretty good when a hot day and the air conditioner's out. It works well to put the window and hold the window open. Matter of fact, when the baby was kind of small and needed to get up to the table, it worked good as a booster seat for the baby to sit on. Matter of fact, it's heavy enough that it holds most doors open when we need it. So there's a lot of other things that we can use this book for that's useful, but that's not its purpose. Holding the door open and holding a baby up closer to the table to eat is not the purpose that this book was written. It was written to educate. the masses of people who would read it. See, in our lives, when we miss our purpose, and we know we've missed, we're not fulfilling what God has really called us to do. We may be useful somewhere, but we're not where God really wants us to be. And sometimes we can be just like this book. We can be used for something, but it's just not where, and we know deep in our heart, where God really wants us to be at. What about in your life today? Are you really living out the purpose for which God called you? God wired us and designed us all a little different. And He did that for a particular purpose and a reason. To fulfill something in this life. First of all, to give Him glory with everything we are. How He designed us, to give Him glory. And He plants us where He wants us to be. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Esther. Esther, chapter 4. You are called and set apart for a purpose. Rick Warren said, you are made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. A little background to kind of catch us up where we were. Last time we visited in Esther 3, we read where Haman had deceived King Xerxes. So King Xerxes and Esther's married to him. Haman was promoted for some reason, and Mordecai was overlooked for a great deed he had done to save the king's life. So Haman goes in, and the king promotes him above all the nobles. All the nobles. And he decreed through all the land that everyone should bow down to Haman when he comes by, when he passes by. Well, Mordecai wouldn't do it. Mordecai was a Jew. Esther was a Jew. They were living in Persia. They'd been carried away about 150 years before that into captivity. So here they were, Jewish foreigners, basically aliens, living among the Persian people. Esther was now a queen. Mordecai still practiced his Jewish faith. He would not bow down to anyone but the Lord. So when Haman passed by, everyone else would bow down. Mordecai wouldn't. Haman got angry about that because Mordecai was not showing him any honor. So he goes to King Xerxes. Hey, this group of people, these Jews living among us, will not show honor. They will not follow your rules. They will not, you know, live out your decrees. So I think we need to annihilate, kill them all. King's, well, yeah, you know, if they're not doing what I tell them to do, we're going to kill them all. So he sends out this decree that on March the 7th, the following year, this was in April that he sends it out. So March, 11 months later, on March the 7th, all the Jews would be killed. They were living in the kingdom. That's kind of where we pick up. Kind of bleak where we left off last time. Chapter 4. So when Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter. So in every province, the edict and order of the king came. And there was great mourning among the Jews, with lasting weeping, with fasting and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And when Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, assigned him to attend her and order him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. And so Mordecai told him everything that happened to him, including the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict of their annihilation, which was had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go to the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach took and went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. And then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death, unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days had passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are the king in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but that you have been that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." And then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went and carried out all of Esther's instructions. Let's pray together. Father God, today, help us to see from this living example of Esther and Mordecai, Lord, how your great plan involves all of us. No one can escape your providential plan. And God, that you've called us all to a purpose in that plan. God, open our eyes even today, Lord. Maybe we've been wondering, what did you put us here for? God, maybe we've been wondering why we have had this uneasy peace about us, Lord, that we have not been living out the joy that you want us to. And God, maybe a reality today is that we are not following what you've called us to do. Holy Spirit, move freely in our midst. Open our eyes and open our hearts. Teach us, show us, and grow us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Several things today we need to look at. Understanding this story, what's going on in the life of Queen Esther and the Persian people, the Jewish people. See, our purpose is intertwined into God's providential plan. And God gives us great freedoms in His plan. And yet His plan always works out. So here's a couple of thoughts, a few truths, if you would, that we need to learn from this passage. The first is this: is your purpose in God's providential plan often leads you through troubles and tragedies. Your part in God's plan is not always an easy thing, as we see what happened in Esther's life and Mordecai's life. Verse 1 and 3 says, "When Mordecai learned about all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on burlap and ashes, and went out into the city, crying with a loud and bitter wail. And as news of the king's decree reached all the provinces, there was great mourning among the Jews, and they fasted and wept and wailed, and many people lay in burlap and ashes." Oh, in this account of Esther, we see this great trouble and this great sadness that erupts among the Jewish community, with the decree of the king condemning all the Jews to die on March the 7th. I don't know about you, but if a decree came out that all rednecks should die on March 7th, I'm crying. Something's going to happen. The Jews begin to wear sackcloth and ashes, which is a sign to express anguish. They humble themselves before God and to cry out to Him and to intervene in their behalf. And grief, listen, grief was great among the Jews because they felt there was no way out for them and their people. Listen, God will provide a way if we look to Him. Sometimes we get our eyes so focused on the problem at hand that we can't begin to see where God's leading us. And this was happening to Jewish people. Listen, they were wailing. They were crying for a reason. They wanted God to intervene. But listen, when a decree comes out from the king that they're all going to die, from their past history, they realize that terrible things can happen to them. See, God does have a plan and a way through the troubles for these Jewish people and facing this king's decree. See, when Mordecai sends word to Queen Esther for help, she seems hesitant at first. Mordecai sends this message in verse 8. It says, go to the king's presence and beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Mordecai knows, listen, Esther's there for a reason. Mordecai knew God, and he knew God's providential plan that here a Jewish girl who was very young, raised in a foreign land, was brought into the palace. There had to be a reason for her being in that palace. Esther's response come back to Mordecai. After Mordecai said, listen, Esther, you're there for a reason. Won't you go tell the king, hey, we're your people. Verse 11 says, all the king's officials and all the people of the royal province know that for any man or woman to approach the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king's law is this but one thing, to be put to death unless the king extends a gold scepter to them and spares their life. See, Esther knew her heritage, but she also knew the law. She knew that if she went into the king when he's in the inner chamber and she had not been summoned, she had not been called to go there, it was her life. Unless the king had favor upon her and extended his scepter to her to welcome her in. Esther was hesitant because she knows the price of disturbing the king. The pressure is on Queen Esther to reveal that she's a Jew. Also, that her people, that the king's decree was going to be annihilated. She faces this unknown outcome with you know, some fear about meeting with the king uninvited. And Mordecai sent this message to her in verse 13. Do you think that because you are in the king's house, that you alone of all the Jews will escape? Mordecai is trying to bring it to reality. So in this conversation, the decree is out. Mordecai is wailing. Esther wants him to put some clothes on, quit wailing like this. But he's like, listen, you need to help us out. There's a decree out here. And he sends that decree to the queen for her to see it. And she reads it. And it's like, what's going on? Mordecai says, you need to go talk to the king about this. All of us are going to be wiped out. And she's like, listen, I'm going to die if I go in there to talk to the king. I was not invited to go in there. Mordecai said, listen, do you think because you're in the king's house that you are above the law? Listen, you are a Jew. You will be killed too. You know, that's kind of pressure. That's a little pressure on the queen to respond in some way. Listen, you're going to die either way. You're going to die by the king because you interrupted him on the inner chamber. Or you're going to die because you're a Jew. You don't really have a choice in this. Mordecai was straightforward in his response with the queen. See, if this decree is followed out, the king's law applies to everyone. All Jews. Troubles and the threats of the tragedy now visited Queen Esther and Mordecai and all the Jews. Even in this providence of God, he allowed them to be challenged by troubles. God wanted them to respond in faith to to trust Him. Oh, listen, in all our lives, your life and in mine, we're called to a great purpose. We are. But it doesn't mean that we will not face trials and tribulations and troubles and tragedies in this calling in our life. You may be going through something right now. Listen, you may be going through a hell on earth right now. And you're thinking, where is God in all of this? God is right there with you. God allows us to go through those things. Why? Not to punish us. Listen, God does not always use trials and tribulations and stuff like that to chastise us in some way. Many times, and most of the time, He allows us to go through that stuff so that we would depend on Him. That we would turn to Him in faith and say, God, I have nothing else but You. That's what God wants. That's why God wants to grow us up. So whatever you're going through right now, I don't know everyone's private life. Whatever you're going through right now, understand God is bigger than your problem. And He allows you to make bad decisions. He allows other people to make bad decisions. And you can say, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this mess? Because God has a greater purpose and greater plan. And the only way He can get you from where you are to where He wants you to be is to allow you to go through the storm. Years ago, before I became this preacher person, I was an ag teacher. Seems like another life now. I always wanted to open a nursery. Plants, that's my thing. I can kill them with the best of them. And I can resurrect them with the best of them. So there was a man over in Pine Prairie, Mr. Cecil Griffith. He was an ag teacher before, and he became principal. And when he retired, he opened a nursery going toward Oakdale. So I used to go visit out there and help him a little bit. I just loved it, enjoyed it. So one day, I just wanted his wisdom. So I asked him about, you know, opening the nursery and things, because I knew he was going to be retiring soon. He said, Kevin, I'm going to tell you this. Don't open a nursery. You don't go into the nursery business. You grow into the nursery business. And I knew what he meant. Don't just invest all your money and jump out there and all kind of plants and stuff. You can lose real big. You just start out real small. Find a few things that work for you, and you keep on going. In our life, God won't just put you somewhere. He will grow you to put you somewhere. He will grow you to where you need to be. And a lot of times, He has to take some things from you. He has to remove some people. He has to remove some situations. Sometimes He has to remove some habits. Listen, He has to heal some hurts. He has to do all sorts of things to put you where He wants you to be. It's not fun. It's not fun to be challenged. It's not fun to go through troubles. It's not fun to go through tragedies. Listen, it's not fun. It hurts. And we do ask why. But we are not to keep our eyes on our problems. We're to keep our eyes on God as He leads us through to where He wants us to be. And He'll heal us, He'll grow us, and it's amazing the person that we are on the other side compared to where we started. Warren Wiersbe said this, is those times when you feel like quitting can be times of great opportunity, for God uses your troubles to help you grow. God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggle, and a reward for your faithfulness. Trust Him and don't give up, the second truth we see. Fulfill your purpose or God will send another person in your place. Hello. Fulfill your purpose or God will push you aside and send another person. What? Oh, yes, He will. You see, when Saul, the first king of Israel, was not following God, He pushed Saul aside and put David. we see in verse 14, the first part of verse 14 of Esther chapter 4 says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, Mordecai's telling Esther, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. There's your proof. There's your proof. Mordecai knew God. He had such a high view of the sovereignty of God that Mordecai knew that God is the one in control and he will provide a way out. Mordecai remembered the children of Israel when they were going to Israel. He remembered all those stories. He remembered that when they were carried away into captivity in Babylon, God was always with them and gave prophets to help encourage them, to keep them focused on God. And he knows that they were set free by the king of Persia to go back to Jerusalem, and many of them stayed. He knew all the stories of God intervening in the life of the Jews. And he's saying with confidence, listen, if you don't stand up, Queen Esther, for your people, God will send someone else. What a challenge. See, Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In Romans 8, 31, he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? These verses are proof in God's word that the faith in God that Mordecai held to, he saw how God had provided for the Jews, and he was confident in God, that God would provide. Listen, God would provide a way out when it seems there is no way. Mordecai had to trust God and God's providential plan. He basically tells Queen Esther, listen, if you don't stand in the gap for us, for God's people, God will send another means, another person, another way. Listen. We need to take heed to this important truth. We're created for a wonderful purpose to fulfill in bringing God glory in Christ, using our gifts and our talents and our resources, our position, our career, our family, everything about us to honor God. We're all wired a little different. We are to pursue our purpose to honor God and to live in the fullest of our existence. However, if we refuse to do God's will, reject the call in our life, rebel against His great plan for us, God will pass us by and send someone else. And what a miserable place to be if we say no to God. Listen, I've known men who've put off the call of God in the ministry, put off and put off and put off until it was basically too late in their life. And they were miserable. I've known men and women who put off because they were led to lead worship. They were led to be a song director. And they were miserable even today because they know that they missed a call. And God sent someone else. Church, I don't want anyone to get the blessing God has in store for me. And I don't want anyone else to get the blessing that God has in store for you. Listen, when I die, I have to stand before God and give account of my life. And I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. When you die, you will have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to say, listen, I gave all these things to you. I created you this way. I wired you a certain way for a purpose. Did you do it? Did you fulfill what I called you to do? The great words that you want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen, your calling may not be a preacher, a pastor, or a singer, or anything. It may be a Sunday school teacher. It may be helping in the children's ministry. Listen, it may be to raise a godly family. God has us all wired a little different. Don't you think that God designed Billy Graham's mother in such a way to raise a Billy Graham? Don't you imagine that God designed Billy Graham's wife a certain way to marry and to support a Billy Graham? See, you may not have the name recognition, That's okay. God knows who you are. He designed you for a purpose and for a reason. Francis Chan said it this way: our greatest fear should not be failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. The third truth is this: when you fail to live out your purpose, living becomes existing. Middle part of verse 14 says, but you and your father's family will perish. See, Mordecai gets real serious with it, Queen Esther. He tells her that God will provide a way to save the Jewish people, even if she refuses to do it, even if she refused to step in the gap and sin. Help will come from somewhere, but her family will pay the price. They would perish. For Mordecai, if Queen Esther chose the easy way out and just let the king's decree come into place by another means, God will send another means to counter out the king's decree upon the Jewish people. He said that her and her family will still perish. Mordecai's getting real serious now. He says, listen, you may go into the king's inner room, and in there, you may die. Basically saying, but listen, you're a Jew, you're going to die anyway. But you have this opportunity to stand up. But if you do not stand up, you're going to perish anyway. So Queen Esther had three avenues of death. Go to the king's inner chamber and die. You know, because I'm a Jew, I'm going to die. Or if I don't do anything, I'm going to die. And God's going to save all the other Jewish people. What a miserable thought for this queen, that she was looking at almost certain death unless God intervened in some way and softened the king's heart. In some way, if God didn't intervene for her, if God did not intervene in her life and for the Jewish people's life, she was going to die as queen. Oh, what courage it took for her to be ready, to be prepared for what God. What a miserable, miserable night or two of prayer and fasting. You see, what a miserable life we can have too when we're not looking at our purpose. We're not fulfilling our purpose. We may not die from it. Our life may not be extinct. We may not go to the grave for saying no to God or just kind of avoiding what we know God is really wanting us to do. If we may not physically die from it, oh, but emotionally we're dead. Because we know that we're running from God. We know that we're out there somewhere. We know that God has put this call in our life, and we can play around with it and play around with it and play around with it. Listen, whatever purpose it is, and if we're avoiding that purpose, we know God is calling us to it. We're always kind of looking over our shoulder. We're always just kind of like, man, I know. We never find job satisfaction. We can go to school and get the best degree, and it's like, oh, man, it's just not it. You know, we go from this job to that job to this job to that job. It's like we never find that inner satisfaction. But we all always had this dream in our heart to be this type of person or to do this. We always wanted this thing, and that's a God dream in us. To fulfill a purpose that God designed us. And we've put it off for many, many reasons. We make up many reasons which really are excuses. Man, we let doubt. We let the lack of self-confidence. We let fear. We let all sorts of things that Satan throws at us to hold us, to stifle us from being the person that God really wants us to be, to fulfill the purpose for which He's called us. We allow all these things into our life. We allow them. We listen to all these voices that are telling us we'll never be good enough to do that. So we just sit back and don't do anything. How many today are listening to this message, realizing that you've been sitting back and not doing anything because of fear? The fear of failure. The fear of what other people will say about you. The fear. God's calling is on you to fulfill your purpose. See, we really are without excuse. See, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." That verse is flopped around so much, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength," and we never do it. The verse says everything. I can do everything through Christ who gives. Don't you know if God has called you to do it for a purpose, that He'll give you the strength to overcome your fear, to overcome your lack of self-confidence, to overcome whatever obstacle that you think is in your life? You see, if you're not living your purpose, this may ring home to you. You see, I'd rather die whispering the name of Jesus than live an empty life shouting my own name. When we say, "I can't do it, God, I'm too scared, I'm too this, I'm too that," all we're doing is shouting our own name. We're just shouting our own name in a very negative way, rather than saying, "God, here I am, send me. I don't know what that looks like, God. I'm going to tell you, God, I'm kind of scared. It's a little fear, Lord, but I know your word cannot lie. And it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Christ, I'm following you. I don't know what it looks like. I'm putting myself out there. Here I am, God." And don't take it back. The fourth truth, and I'm closing. See, God providentially places you to live out your purpose and allows you to work out the details. This was so good about God. God has a great big plan, and He allows us to work the details out. And God still comes out victorious on the end. Verse 14, latter part, Mordecai says this to Esther: "Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this?" Mordecai gets straight to the point to remind Esther, you know what? Just maybe, Esther, just maybe, God put you there for a time like this. Can we grasp that? Do you hear the assurance, the hope, the optimism, the faith in Mordecai's question to Esther? Mordecai knew all the events happening in their lives were God's providential plan. And Mordecai poses this question to the queen to help her see that God had chosen her, called her out to be the queen of Persia, to save the Jewish people from sure death. God knows all things, past, present, and future, and has strategically designed our lives to meet His plan. You are designed a certain way because you are part of that jigsaw puzzle for the big plan of God. Queen Esther has a part of God's providential plan to deliver the Jewish people. Notice when Mordecai tells her, what does she do? She doesn't run in fear. Verse 15 says, when Esther sent the reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews in Susa and fast for me. In other words, she said, go pray for me and fast. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night, and I and my attendants will fast also. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even if it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I love it. Though Mordecai's courageous words to the queen, she saw God's hand putting her beside the king to win his favor for the Jewish people. And she understood her purpose and prepared herself to trust God regardless of the outcome. Maybe in your life today, you've been hesitant about fulfilling and pursuing the purpose for which God called you for fear or doubt or you don't know what's going on. Lord, I don't know what the it's so unknown, God, I'm scared. And you've been fighting it for 20 or 30, 40 years maybe. Would you just humble yourself before God like Queen Esther did? Maybe you need to do some fasting and some praying. Say, God, I've run for a long time, but I want to step out in faith. I want to step out in faith. And Lord, if I die trying, I know that I died pursuing your purpose for me. That's joy. That's living a full life. That's living life at its best. It's not in your money. It's not in your bank account, your house, what car you drive. It's knowing that you're pleasing to God and that you're fulfilling the purpose for which he has called you. Would you today just step out and say, God, here I am. I don't know what it looks like, but God, you've given me this soul dream, this dream that's been buried so deep inside of me to do this for your glory, to do this. And just say, Lord, here I am. Teach me. Grow me to where you want me to be. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you today that we don't have all the answers. God, I thank you today that you allow us to go through all kinds of troubles and all kinds of trials. All kinds of things, Lord, that would help us to grow to the place that you want us to be. Father, I know there's someone listening to the sound of my voice today. I know that there are people who are challenged to grow where you want them to be. Lord, our whole purpose is to give glory with our lives, uniquely designed and wired by you for a certain way to fulfill your great plan in life. God, I pray that you touch each soul today listening. And Lord, that you touch them by your Holy Spirit. Grow them where you want them to be. May they be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.